It is very cool to stand up here and to see so many of you who I have officiated at your bar bat mitzvah, or I've been in your classroom, or I visited you, or taught you, or led a service. It's just I get the best seat in the house. It's very cool to stand here. And this is a high stakes event. So as I began the process of preparing for the new year, I sought inspiration from the wisest sage I could find. Who will inspire us? Is it a rabbinic scholar? Is it a contemporary thought leader? And then it came to me. Turns out it's 100% Lizzo. Thank you so much. This contemporary musical genius distilled our work during Rosh Hashanah perfectly in her lyrics. Woo girl, need to kick off your shoes. Gotta take a deep breath, time to focus on you. That's it. That's the whole thing. That's what we're doing here today. Today we're here for a personal and a communal reset. To take a deep breath, to turn inward, and set our priorities for the new year. The Hasidic text Sfat Emet teaches, the human heart is the tablet on which God writes. Each of us has the word life engraved on our hearts by God's own hand. Over the course of the year, the engraving comes to be covered with grit. And it's been a gritty year, a chaotic time in our country, a chaotic time to be alive. When we're not careful, our lives become consumed by empty patterns, blindly moving from one thing to the next, work and email, school and homework, Twitter and Facebook, sleep and repeat, as the grit builds up on our hearts. Early in our service, Cantor Robbins chanted Unatana Tokef, a haunting reminder that none of us knows what the new year holds and that life is sacred. That we can't spend our precious time just going through the motions, because if we do, the grit overtakes us. On Rosh Hashanah, the call of the shofar wakes us up and reminds us to wipe away the grit and to break the cycle. But how do we do that? How do we reset our patterns and set the priorities that nourish our souls, that give our lives meaning? I believe the answer is written on the teal shirts that our religious school teachers have worn on opening day, announcing the three core values that guide our religious school learning: belonging, significance, and fun. These priorities are inspired by a secular classroom curriculum called Responsive Classroom that centers social-emotional learning. They are designed to help educators nurture a generation of students with grit, resilience, and courageous spirits. Reflecting on 5779, I think that these three principles could be pretty useful for grown-ups too. Belonging, significance, and fun can help all of us set priorities for our time and attention in 5780. Let's begin with belonging. Belonging is a very Jewish notion. Our faith is all about ritual. From the apples and honey, to the shofar, to the bagels at breakfast, it feels good and comfortable when you recognize the predictable patterns that are present when you're practicing Judaism. And you can't be Jewish alone. In some of the most significant moments, you need a minion, 10 people. When you are marking the joy and promise of a wedding, you need at least a minion to chant the celebratory 7 blessings. And hopefully they stick around to eat and dance and celebrate. You need a minion to say the mourner's kaddish, the words we recite when we remember a loved one who has died. We recite these words during Shiva when we invite all of our friends and neighbors to surround and embrace us. At the highest emotional peaks and the lowest valleys, the familiar rituals in the presence of community is meant to embrace you with a sense of belonging. And this is not only true of religious life. Every fancy exercise class follows a carefully choreographed series of rituals, and political campaign rallies have started encouraging participants to introduce themselves to the people standing next to them. At a recent Moms Demand Action conference in DC, In addition to lobbying and protesting, these gun violence prevention activists participated in a hugging circle. Each of us needs community to feel like we have found our people, to have a place, as we say in Boston, where everybody knows your name. In the story of creation, we read that after God created Adam, God quickly realized that this wasn't exactly right. God said, "It's not good for man to be alone." And God created Eve to keep Adam company. From the very beginning, we have understood that humans need company. Families by birth and families by creation. Teams and tribes and squads that we know have our back when we're celebrating and when we're sad. As we begin 5780, ask yourself, where do I feel a sense of belonging? How can I spend my time building a community where I feel supported, loved, and cared for? Let's turn to the second principle, significance. As we set our intentions for the new year, we need more than just belonging, finding community, and love. We also need to pursue a sense of significance, investing our time and attention on what matters to us and to our world. I have a sign that sits on my desk that says, "How are you spending your time?" I made it after a community organizing training where the trainer explained that we will always be too busy for organizing. There is always one more email, another phone call, something that feels more pressing. But if we want to change our communities, if we want to change the world, we have to be deliberate about how we're spending our time. And we have to spend our time on things that matter. In August of 2018, activist Greta Thunberg started a school strike in Sweden. As she learned more about the climate crisis, she said, "I promised myself I was going to do everything I could do to make a difference." She spent that first day alone, holding a sign that read, "School Strike for Climate." She returned the next day, she had a bit of company, and for the next 21 days, she spent her time outside the Swedish parliament. The protest grew and grew and word spread. Her solitary strike grew into a movement. And since then, she has inspired leaders, teens and adults, to spend their time organizing strikes and actions. On September 20th, 2 million people walked out of work and school around the globe to sound the alarm on climate change. On Rosh Hashanah, we reacquaint ourselves with a sense of purpose, with the belief that our world can be better than it is right now. Hayom Harat Olam, we say these words during the shofar service. And the English translation often says, "Today is the birthday of the world." And some people take that very literally, like Cantor Robbins and her family. But it's not actually what they mean. Rosh Hashanah really means that today the world is being formed. Hayom Harat Olam means that today the world is being created anew. That today the world is ripe for renewal and change. We are the people who can bring that change about. The co-creators that can bring our world closer to what we believe it can be. But to do that, we have to give it our time and attention. To spend our time on work that is significant. As you set your intentions for the new year, I ask, what feels urgent to you? What feels significant? How are you spending your time? Are you playing a part in creating a better world? Finally, as we prepare for the new year, yes, we need to feel a sense of belonging, and yes, we need to feel a sense of significance, but let's not forget about fun. Now, if you ask most people to describe attributes of Jews, I'm not sure they'd start with fun. It's true. Jewish history is marred by suffering and tragedy. We have museums and memorials that pay tribute to thousands of years of persecution. Yes, sadness and suffering are certainly a part of the Jewish story. But in spite of this, maybe even because of this, we are a hopeful people. We are an optimistic people. We are people who are serious about fun. I would guess that nearly everyone in this room has experienced the joy of Jewish celebration, dancing like crazy during the Horah at weddings or B'nai Mitzvah. In a few weeks, we celebrate Sukkot called Zman Simchatenu, Time of Our Joy. The week of celebration culminates with Simchat Torah, which is basically an epic dance party in the sanctuary, Torahs in hand. And you don't have to wait for special occasions. Every Friday night at sundown, we say Kiddush and we drink some wine in order to sweeten the Shabbat. We rejoice in the act of simply gathering around the table, sharing food and unhurried conversation with friends and loved ones. In spite of the dark periods and the suffering, Jews have always ritualized joy and fun. We know that you have to try to find the light even when there's darkness, not because we are naive or ignorant, but because being human is living into the full range of our emotions. In Judaism, we begin counting our days at sunset so that we're always looking forward to the first light, affirming, as the psalmist says, that joy comes in the morning. Jewish tradition understood, even before smartphones and soccer, tutors and trials, we understood that we have to be deliberate about joy. We have to ritualize and sanctify joy to set the time aside and protect it. So in 5780, make sure you have fun. Rabbi's orders. As we set our intentions for the new year, I want to propose the 5780 priorities test. Before you commit to something new, to something extra, ask yourself, does this give me a sense of belonging? Am I spending my time on something significant? Is it going to be fun? If the answer to all three questions is no, then maybe it's not worth your precious time. Today, let us commit to creating the circumstances in our lives for meaning and nourishment and joy, to spend our time in places of belonging where we are loved and valued for who we are, to spend our energy on matters of significance, believing that we can change the world and showing up to make it happen, and seeking out fun, doing the things that we love with the people who we love. May the sound of the shofar wake us up, help us to take a deep breath and wipe the slate clean as we celebrate what is possible as we begin again at the dawn of 5780.